I want to tell you the story. It's a pretty famous story of a great rabbi who was the shatz on Rosh Hashanah for Shachris. And when he came to the bima and he said Hamelech, he fainted. And they had a lot of trouble waking him up. When they asked him what happened, he said that just at that moment that he went to begin his job as a shliach tzibur, he remembered the Gemara in Gittin, and the Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw that the Romans were about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he knew based on a pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, it would fall into the hands of the king, he left Yerushalayim, and he came in front of the Roman general. And he said to him, Shalom Alecha Melech. He greeted him by calling him the king. And the response that he got was that you deserve to die twice. First, I'm not a king. And if you call someone a king during the rule of the Caesar, that is a mori b'malchus. And to that argument, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded that I know that the Beis HaMikdash is going to fall in the hands of the king. And if you are about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash as the head of the legion, the Roman legions, I know that you're the king. And before he could finish speaking, they actually appointed this head of the Roman military as the king. The second thing that the Roman head of legion said to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is, if I am a king, then why is it that you didn't come to see me until this time? Where were you until now? And Yiftach in Shoftim said something very similar to the people who came and asked him, begged him to represent them in the battle against the enemies. Halo atem snesim osi v'tekarshuni mi beis ovi madu abosem elai ato kasher tzar lochem. So when this rabbi got up to daven for the Yomid and he cried out HaMelech, he heard the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Me'achar shemelech ani, if I am in fact a king, madu alo bosa ad ato, where were you until now? Cheshvin, Kislev, Tevish, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tamaz, Ov, El, and now, all of a sudden you wake up? And this story, in a sense, has a message for us that should really penetrate into our hearts. Where were we until now? And now we wake up in Elul, just a month before Rosh Hashanah. Where were we the rest of the month? And the answer is that what happened until now, okay, we have no response, we have no answer, we cannot justify that. But it's better to come late than not to come at all. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's response was that the Biryonim, that's what they were called back in the day, they wouldn't let him come until that point. And we also have to say that we were faced by the Biryonim. Just like Rabbi Yochanan couldn't come to see the head of the Roman legions until that point because the Biryonim prevented him from doing so. So too, in the case of each and every one of us, we are facing the Biryonim during the course of the year. The Yetzer Hara, the powers of the evil inclination are so intense that they don't allow us a possibility of coming close to Hashem. And now we have to ask ourselves the question, how can we come with 1 month left to Rosh Hashanah and rectify b'misaken what we really have messed up in the entire year? In 1 month? And I want to start with a story of the Panovitcher Rav, who tells about a meeting he had with the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim asked him about a pasuk in Mishlei, Tovas Hashem kol gva lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds despicable someone who's haughty. A person who has gasus ruach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't live with him in the same world. And this is a Gemara in Sota Daf Hei that culminates with a pasuk in Tilim, Gva einayim rechav levav oso lo uchol. Hashem says, I cannot tolerate someone who's gva einayim, who's so full of himself. And the Chofetz Chaim turns to the Panovitcher Rav and he says, I don't understand. Gaiva, haughtiness, is a sin. And according to the Smag, it's counted as a los aseh in the Taryag. We don't accept the opinion of the Smag, of the Seif Mitzvahs Gedolo, so therefore Gaiva is not even an aver in the Torah. And even if I would grant you that it was an aver in the Torah, there's certainly worse averos than the Torah. For example, if you take a look at Parshas Achrimos, the Torah says, Ani Hashem hashochin ito betoch tumasam, and that means that a person who violates the laws of morality, he's immoral in his behavior, he is contaminated, he's repulsive in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem will reject him and the nation that's guilty of this sin from Eretz Yisrael. The land of Israel can't tolerate them. Rashi, though, says on that pasuk, Ani Hashem ashochin itom b'toch tumasam, afal b'shem t'meim shechina b'neihem. It means that even if they're guilty of a very serious violation of the ilk of Tumas Arayus, nevertheless the Shekhinah is still there. And the Pasuk says, V'abotech Pashem Chesed Yisovivenu Afilu Rosha U'botech Pashem Chesed Yisovivenu. And it means that despite the violation and the serious nature of the violation, Hashem is still there surrounding him. And the Gemara tells in Brachas, Ganva fu machtarto rachmana kori, when the Ganav is about to enter in order to do his thievery, he turns to Hashem and he asks for Hashem's compassion. And it means that he has to rely on Hashem, that Hashem is with him, even though he's involved in a criminal act. It means Hashem is there with everyone, even someone who's guilty of Tumas Arayas, somebody who's guilty of Gneva. And yet when it comes to the Geah, meaning the person who is guilty of haughtiness, Hashem's not there anymore. He refuses to be there. Why? And the Ponovitch Rav said, I was quiet, I didn't respond, because I knew that the tshuva is coming very, very, very quickly. And I wasn't mistaken. The Chafetz Chaim continued and he said the following. God is there with everyone. Why? Because there's always a chance that the person, the sinner, will do tshuva. He'll open up his eyes, he'll pay attention, he'll open his heart, he'll understand and appreciate that he has to do tshuva, he'll recognize that he needs to go back to the right path. But the person who's a mizgoyah, he's a balgaiva, we have no reason to assume that he'll get intelligence and he'll know, hey, I got to recognize the fact that I got to do tshuva, he's a shota. He is considered an idiot, if I can use that term. Again, it's a harsh term, but the Ramban, in his famous Igeres, he writes to his son, V'ato b'ni da'ura ekia mizgoye b'liba al abrios moridu b'malchu shamayim ki mispoyeru b'levush malchu shamayim. The person who's guilty of haughtiness, he's a balgaiva, he's really embezzling the levush, the garments of Hashem. Because the Pasuk says, Until Hashem Allah Ge'us Lavesh. God is the Balgaiva, so to speak. He's the one who wears the levush of Gaiva, meaning he's the greatest, he's perfect, he's eternal, he's infinite, etc. Says the Ramban, B'mei Yisgoy Lev Ha'adam, how can man wear the clothing of Hashem, Hashem Allah Ge'us Lavesh? In the Osher, if let's say he's boasting to himself about the fact that he's wealthy, the Pasuk says in Shmuel, Hashem Morish Umashir, it all comes from God. What does he have to boast about? In the Kavod, if he claims, well, look how much Kavod I have, Halo Lelkimu, really Kavod doesn't belong to man. Ha'osher v'akavod milfanecha, the Pasuk says. So how could he boast of Kavod when the Kavod really belongs to Hashem? And if he'll boast of his chachma, you know, I'm brilliant, and he shows you all the five beta kappas that dangle from, you know, the medallions that he's won, is the Pasuk says in Eov, Mesir Safal in Emamim Vitam Skenim Yikach. It means everything is equal in the eyes of Hashem. He has no logical reason to boast about himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpil Geim or Magbia Shfolim. Everything is in the hands of God. You have no right to take for yourself credit. Credit is not due. So we understand very well that for a person to be a Baal Gaiva, it's really idiosyncratic. And the mashal is like the person who decides to dress up as a general. You know, he takes the uniform, he buys the uniform in a costume store and he dresses up. Is he going to be a general? Everybody's going to laugh at him. He's going to laugh at himself. He demands the kavod, the honor that comes to a general. That's humiliating. He's not a general in the army. He just wore the clothes of a general. And therefore, how could a person take the clothing of Hashem, everything that belongs to Hashem, and wear it? The pasuk says, everything that we get from Hashem. And everything that we give back from that which Hashem gave us. Life is a gift from Hashem. Power, possessions, everything is from Hashem. So why are we boasting? The answer is the Mizgah is a Shota. And when it comes to a Shota, a person who's just an imbecile, is Ein Takono. We have no reason to guess and anticipate that he's going to do tshuva. Even a thief will eventually realize that he's got to change his ways. He's still an intelligent person. He realizes the nature of his crime. But in the case of a Mizgah, forget it. There's no chance that he's going to do tshuva. He's just an imbecile. He takes credit where credit is not due, and he boasts as if it's kochi biyadi, as if he deserves all that credit. He was the one who won all that riches, all those possessions. He was the one who achieved greatness in power and in glory and in status and in terms of his intelligence. You know, he was brilliant and he got to the dean's list. He takes all the credit for himself. You've seen these people all the time. They boast about themselves, and even the way they carry themselves, the air is one of gaiva. And the Chafetz Chaim therefore asked the question, let's learn a verse together from Divrei Hayomim. The pasuk says, "Vayitnu kol Yehuda mincha liYehoshaphat." A gift was sent to Yehoshaphat the king, Vahili lo osher v'kavod lo rov, and Yehoshaphat became very wealthy and with a lot of glamour and glory. Vayigbal libo b'darkei Hashem. And Chazal say, what's vayigbal libo b'darkei Hashem? Af shahilo osher v'kavod. Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik, even though he had wealth and status and honor and glory. Nevertheless, lo gava libo bavuram, he didn't take credit for osher v'kavod. What did he take credit for? Vayigba libo b'darkei Hashem, because he went in the darkei Hashem. All the kavod and all the osher wasn't worth anything to him, but darkei Hashem, that was worth something. But wait a second, we just finished saying that gaiva is shtus, because everything is bidei shamayim. Life, health, wealth, everything is bidei shamayim. And a person who's about gaiva, he doesn't realize that all his intelligence and all his powers are coming from Hashem. I call bidei shamayim. Chutz b'yira shamayim. The one thing that is in the hands of man, and man is granted freedom of choice, is yira shamayim. To make those right decisions at the crossroads in which he's tempted in one way or the other, he has freedom of choice. But yet, anything that man does, and all the ramifications, it all comes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in Yishai, Ki gam kol ma'asenu pa'alnu lanu. In other words, when a person takes credit for Yira Shamayim, okay, that's understandable because that's not Bidei Shamayim. But the actions that he implements, the activities, and all the achievements as a result of these activities is Kol Maseu, everything is Bidei Hashem. Why then is Yehoshaphat Gav Alibi B'Darkei Hashem, that whatever I did for Hashem I am proud of? There's no room here for proud, for pride. And yet the pasuk says, Vayhi Hashem Yehoshaphat. And this question was asked by the Chafetz Chaim to the Ponovitcher Rav, and the Ponovitcher Rav says, I knew that the answer was coming, and therefore I didn't jump in, and I wasn't wrong. Chafetz Chaim said the following, and Chafetz Chaim got very excited about this. And he said that when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, when it comes to halicha, when we go and we follow in the ways of Hashem, man is, in truth, a general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a tremendous chesed. And in the kindness, the benevolence of God, He designates man for becoming as becoming a general in the halicha b'darkei Hashem. In this one area, this one territory of human behavior, God considers everything as if man had done, had achieved, had implemented with his, meaning man's own power. Whatever man takes with his own force, with his own koach, with his own powers, and with his own possessions, then Hashem will grant him rewards, not just for his right decision, for implementing his freedom of choice in the right way, for his Yirah Shamayim, but on everything and all the energies that man implemented, that he used, that he garnished all his energies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him these energies, and it's true. He has nothing to boast. The source of all his powers and his intelligence and his possessions, they all come from Hashem. But yet, when man makes the right decision at a crossroads, and he implements his freedom of choice, the great endowment of man, in the right way, all the efforts that he puts in, and all the monies that he invests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Even though they come from me, you can consider as if it's from you. It's as if HaKol Mishalcha, it's all from you. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Samach Beis, when he says, L'cha Hashem HaChesed, Ki Atos Seshalem Le'ish Kimaseu. It's a great chesed. And why is it a chesed? Because you will repay, you will reward man for his maisim. And you ask the question, why is that called chesed? Why is that hanhagel if nimishus adin? You know, not by the letter of the law, when man is being compensated for his maisim. Isn't that shurus adin? Why does David HaMelech say, L'cha Hashem HaChesed, Ki atos shalom ish kimaseu? But the answer is, because it is a chesed. Because according to Shuras HaDin, whatever man does, he does because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to do it, gave him the abilities to do it. Hashem sunk into him, poured into him all these powers and all these energies. And really, it's all from Hashem. There's a famous mashal that they give of a diamond dealer who calls in a nar, a young man, a young adult, and he says to him, do you want to make some money? Take this diamond, be very careful with it, and go to a certain place, and there's a rich person who's willing to buy it, and take its value and bring it back. Now this rich person was waiting for that diamond. And when the young lad, as a shliach of the diamond deal, brought this diamond, the rich man received it with great joy, and he took all the cash, put it into an envelope, it was worth $1 million, and he gave it to this nar. And this young lad came back, he gives the envelope to the diamond dealer, and he expects to get paid for his work. And he thinks to himself, what is the diamond dealer going to pay me for my work? I did it loyally. Maybe he'll pay me 20. Maybe he'll pay me 50. Because again, it was a big deal. This was a deal of $1 million. So the diamond dealer turns to him and he says to him, no, you take the envelope. It's yours. Everything inside is yours. And the young lad says to him, why? He says, let me explain it to you. First of all, you agreed to take upon yourself this shlichus. That's a tremendous, awesome responsibility you took on your shoulders. And secondly, you were very careful with this diamond. You didn't lose it. You watched it, and even on the long journey, you guarded it. And not only that, you sold it for its full value. You didn't decide to settle for half of its value. You did everything perfectly, and therefore you deserve to receive the benefits. But you know what? The young lad turns to him, okay, even if what you say is correct, you pay me 200, pay me 1,000, but $1 million, the entire value. And in the nimshal, that's l'cha Hashem HaChesed. What is the chesed? Ki ato tishalim li'ish kimasehu. As if it was his diamond. As if he found the buyer. As if he created this entire deal and worked on it and designed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm not just going to pay you to main the CIA, you know, the amount of money it costs you to get on a train. I'm not just going to pay you for the energies and the tirch and the avoda that you put into this. Oh, no. I'm going to pay you the entire value of this diamond. We don't realize what the value of our mitzvahs are. When we face a challenge and we overcome that challenge and we implement Hashem's will and we fulfill His mitzvah, then we get a diamond. The diamond is the value of that entire envelope and all the cash within it. And therefore, we are sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an endless number of shlichuyot. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year, we're constantly representing Hashem kaviyochol and facing the challenges day by day, minute by minute. And in some of the cases, we refused to go. We had the opportunity to go, and we turned it down. And in some cases, we lost the diamond. We weren't careful about it. In some cases, in some occasions, we sold it for half its value. And that's me'ila. That's embezzlement. So what's going to help us now? In the last month of the year, Chodesh El, we count HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we are good boys. We live up to the challenge. We fulfill the Shlichus of Hashem in the loyal way, in the perfect way. But what about the calculation, the evaluation of the entire year, of 11 months that came before El? And the answer is, first and foremost, that's what tshuva is all about. The past, we're going to do tshuva on the past. All the obligations and the debts that we incur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Bezin Shalmal, will all be wiped off. From now on, we're going to be careful. We're going to be more meticulous and dedicated and energetic in our fulfillment of the mitzvahs. And therefore, we're going to receive the envelopes that are full of cash. We're going to receive the full value of the jewel. And what's on the agenda, Rabosai, what's here in the balance, in the scales, is on the left side, is all our sins, all our inconsistencies, all our incomplete mitzvos or not mitzvos at all. But on the other side, on the right side, we're going to put this envelope of all the great mitzvos and the dedication of the that we have today as we enter into El for the fulfillment of Hashem's mitzvos. That's going to be on the right side. It's going to weigh down the left side and will be granted a sweet new year. And this is all true. And even though it's difficult for us to achieve full-fledged tshuva, and Rabbi Yonah in his Shari Tshuva speaks about the challenges of doing tshuva, but nevertheless, if we rise up to the occasion, if we face those challenges, he says, Rabbi Yonah l'chol tshuva timotzei slicha, whatever level of tshuva we're able to do, we'll achieve slicha and kapora. Again, we may not achieve the full-fledged slicha and kapora because we didn't implement the full-fledged tshuva gemura. But says Rabbi Yonah, if you have a garment that's stained, it could be that you won't give it to the best cleaner, and it won't be totally clean, but at least the stain won't look as profound as it does now. We're able to remove a little bit of the filth, all relative to what level of tshuva we achieve. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonah Echoz Bazeh, try your best, for Gam Mizal Tanach Yedecha, try to achieve tshuva gemura, and go higher and higher, more profound, more intense. And whatever level of tshuva we can do, it's going to lighten the burden of the left side of the scales. And at the same time, as we do mitzvahs, we're going to add weight to the right side of the scale, so the scale will be tipped in our favor. And the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tshuva, we've quoted it many times, that in the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, everything depends upon the rov. Tachriya kaf ha-mitzvos, we pray and we hope with optimism that the kaf, the side of the scales that has mitzvahs on it, the right side, will be machriya. And then we'll be zoche to a year of sweetness and goodness. But, you know what? The main attitude that we have to have as we enter into this month, I think, is reflected in the mission in Avos, Hazman Katzar V'Amalacha Merubah. The time is short, and there's a lot of work to be done. And And in the Sefer Vigadita, Rav Galinsky asked the question, as we've indicated earlier, this question: how could it be that in 1 month's time we can rectify all the deviations that we're guilty of, and all the inconsistencies and the deficiencies that we piled up during the entire year? And the answer is that we're going to diminish the left side of the scale, and we're going to weigh down the right side of it. We're going to add mitzvahs, and the right side is going to become so full, it's going to just pour over. The question is, do we appreciate, do we understand and recognize the significance of the reward of a mitzvah, the concept of a schar mitzvah? Chazal say in Kiddushin, schar mitzvah by Amalek. There's nothing in this world that even, you know, in a distant, dim way will reflect the schar mitzvah, the greatness of the reward, the incredible, infinite nature of the reward of a mitzvah. When the Gemara tells us in Erevin Hayom la'asos l'machar l'kabel schar, it's very difficult for us to understand the l'machar, to appreciate the future of Kabbalah schar, to get an idea of how genuine and how infinite is the schar of a mitzvah. And the haflah in Sefer Dvarim, here in our parsha in Panim Yafos, on the Mishnah that says Yofa Sha'achas Shal Koras Ruach Ba'olam Hazeh Yosef Mikol Chaya Olam Abba, says the Afla in his Panim Yofos, Ein Lecha Mitzvah Eich Shenases Shalom Agia Aleh Sha'achas Zman Muad Shal Koras Ruach Shal Hano Afilu Muetes Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'olam Abba. He says it's impossible to even imagine a mitzvah, even if it's a simple mitzvah, or even if it's a mitzvah that wasn't done in the perfect way. Every mitzvah will have its sha'achas, its yofa sha'achas, mikol chay olam haba. We can't even imagine kol chay olam haba. But one mitzvah is greater than kol chay olam haba. This is what we have to learn and train ourselves to appreciate. What a mitzvah is all about in the schar mitzvah. And if we could only have a perspective on schar mitzvah, if we could go up to Shamayim for just a second and see and experience a schar mitzvah, oh, then we would give so much significance to every action and every challenge that we face. Ki'ilu b'kolcheinu b'yosmaseinu r'chushaseinu asinu pa'alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said before, considers it as if everything we did, all the energies that we put in, all the possessions that we spent, everything we invested in a mitzvah with our kochos, it's all ours. Hashem considers it as if we did it. And the schar is going to be immense. It's going to be awesome. And Reb Chaim Volozhin derives from a story in the Tanit Velio an important point. The Tanit Velio says that, let's open up our, this is the introduction to Tanit Velio, our work with a shvach, a praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bohar HaMokom Baruch Hu, Shebetfunaso Bora Olam V'sameach B'chelko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his wisdom, created the world, and he's happy with his chelek. How could the Tanit Velio say such a thing? Asked Reb Chaim. We say about a person who is an usher because he's sameach b'chelko. He's satisfied. He's glad about what he has. But with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say that God is to be praised because he's sameach b'chelko, I mean, God is, you know, man is limited. And therefore, if he's sameach b'chelko, whatever he gets, he's happy with, that's understood. But the Creator, who's infinite in his powers, he could do anything, he could create more and more and more. What does it mean, sameach b'chelko? The whole concept is weird, is fluky. And when Reb Chaim Volozhin was perturbed about this question in Tanit Velio, he went to ask his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. And as soon as the Rebbe heard the question, he immediately answered. He says, true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to create anything. Everything is created according to his will, and it's endless. But there's one thing that God decided from His own will that He won't get involved in. To give man that territory of freedom of choice. And therefore, if God is happy with the nation as a whole, or with every individual member of the nation, and He wants everyone to grow and ascend in spirituality and rise to greater and greater heights, He'll wait for us patiently. And with regard to Klal Yisrael, ki chelek Hashem ama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'chelko, we are His chelek. When it says in Tanit Be'elyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'chelko, He looks at Klal Yisrael, both communally and each individual Jew as a yachid, and He sees that they're doing great things, that they're ascending the mountain of Hashem. He's sameach b'chelko. He's sameach with HaKadosh, with Klal Yisrael. Sameach b'chelko means sameach b'chelek Hashem Amo, which is Bnei Yisrael. And you know what? You ask yourself the question, what does it mean Hashem is sameach b'am Yisrael? I mean, what have we really achieved? You know, in baseball terms, did we hit the grand slam? I mean, what's Hashem so happy about? And the mashal, and we've mentioned this mashal in the past, imagine parents who waited so long for a child, and they prayed, and they davened, and guess what? They had a child, but unfortunately he was very limited. What we call pagua. Rachmana litzlan, everyone should be saved and spared of such a thing. This is not exactly the son that they were praying for. This is what they yearned for. But nevertheless, obviously they love the child. They treat him in every possible way. They try to send him to whatever training he can have. Any little development, you know, if he's able to walk, they have tremendous amount of joy. No matter how small, you know, even an inch, but if the child makes progress, the parents are thrilled. And that's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with me as an individual, or with the Klal Yisrael, Sameach B'chelko, we are His chelek. Of course God anticipated and hoped that we would be much better, that we would progress and develop at a faster speed, but nevertheless, Hashem realizes what our limitations are, and He's happy with every little spark of light that comes out. Whatever little progress we make, He's happy about that. He's Sameach B'chelko. Because this is what we're capable of. We're not the great giants, our ancestors who came before us. And if Hashem is going to have compassion on us, imagine the following mashal. Supposing the children have two sons. One is brilliant. He is so talented and capable. He gets all A's in college and everything else. And he has a lot of personality as well. He's always got a smile on his face. He's upbeat. He's religious, and he dedicates himself to mitzvahs and to Torah. He is in school. He's the most outstanding student. But nevertheless, afterwards they have a second child. And this child doesn't even recognize his parents. He is completely given over to this bubble. He lives in a bubble, a closed bubble. He's autistic, Rachmana Litzlan. And the parents love him, and they kiss him, and they stroke his face, and they speak to him in a soft voice, and they sing for him. And it's all in vain. And yet, at one particular day in the life of this family, two things happen on that same day. Their oldest son comes back from school with the greatest, most perfect scorecard, you know, his two dads, we say, his report card, that you could even imagine. What else happens? His younger brother, for the first time, says, Ima. Where is their happiness greater? Where is their spilus? And unfortunately, their spilus is from that one word, Ima. When I say unfortunately, I mean, you know, if you compare it to the first son, I hope he's not insulted, but imagine this autistic child finally says Ima. What a great breakthrough. And imagine the immeasurable happiness of the parents. And in that sense, this is our situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy when we say Ima, when we say Abba. There's a famous part from Reb Chaim Kanevsky, you know, when the Torah describes all the animals entering into the ark. In Bereishis Perek Zayin, it says, Mikol HaBeim HaTorah Tikach LaShiva Shiva Ish V'Ishto. We're talking about animals, husband and wife. Min HaBeim HaShalo Torah Hi Shnayim Ish V'Ishto. Now, what does it mean, Ish V'Ishto, with regard to animals? I mean, was there a Masada Kedushin? What's it all about? So Reb Chaim says that that's what the Gemara means when it asks the question in Sanhedrin Kuf Chaf. Ishus lebehema mi isla. There's no ishus in an animal. So what does it mean, ish v'ishto? And the Gemara answers, may osam shalom nevdo behem avera. All the animals on the face of the earth were in a state of ashchasa. There were animals that came one with another, with a min b'sheinu mino. But these are the animals that only had relations with mina. They were loyal, they were dedicated. And therefore they're called ish v'ishto. Yeah, but again, the question is still sharp. I mean, okay, they weren't mashkes darkom, but nevertheless, what's ish v'ishto? And the answer is that it says in the Oruch, the very, very famous Oruch, that bishvil shelo bo al she'eno minam osalem kovid v'kosev lem ishus kibbo'odom. Again, does this make life a little easier for us? The Aruch says that because they were so dedicated to a life of morality and cleanliness and loyal to their min b'minam, HaKadosh Baruch made them a kavod, and he wrote them in the Torah Ishus as if they were human beings. It's an amazing kavod in the Torah, L'Netzach Nitzachim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divvies out to these animals because they were loyal. They were moral. Despite what they saw in all the other animals around them, to the left and the right, the society, these animals were different. Again, I can't explain that. Why? But Hashem gave them the covenant and gave them Ishus. And wrote about these animals, Ish v'Ishto. Now let's see if we can apply this message to our generation. When Torah and the Keren HaTorah is so low in the world. There's so much, you know, so much of the world around us laughs at the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan. And the street is so full of hefkerus, of ashchas, of everything goes wrong. And a Ben Torah is somehow lost in this world. And even if he can't dedicate himself to learning because of all that's going on and all the influences in his life, in the street, from the street and from the society at large, nevertheless, even if he dreams a little bit, even if he schmoozes a little bit, but he learns a little bit. And if he learns a little bit, his learning, says Reb Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, is greater up in Shamayim than the learning of Reb Akiva Eiger. Again, you know, we don't have even a conception of Reb Akiva Eiger, but Reb Chaim does. And it would seem that maybe that's what the Medrash means, according to Reb Chaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe dar dar v'darshav v'shoftav u'melachav. Moshe was able to be shown to get a perspective on all the generations and the judges and the kings, Chachamav and the wise sages, Manhigov and the leaders. Shotrav uparnosav chomsav v'gazlonav. Why did Chazal add chomsav v'gazlonav? Why was it important that Moshe Rabbeinu see, get a picture, a glimpse of the thieves and the chamsim? Yeah. But the answer is that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu may have been happy with the shoftim and the chachamim, but that wasn't enough until Hashem showed him the chomsav v'gazlonav, and he realized that these chachamim lived in the same generation, and they shared, you know, the same society, they walked the same streets as these chamsonim and gazlonim. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu realized how great these chachamim were. When he realized that despite the Yiridus HaDoros, that even in the later generations, there were leaders. HaKadosh Baruch wanted to show him the greatness of these leaders, of these gedolim, who were not influenced by the terrible impact of the Chomsim, the Gazlanim, it's like Yiftach b'dorkei Shmuel b'doro. Man is judged by the relative terms to the terms of the society that he lives in. And if man lives in a society that's negative, whatever mitzvahs he does, whatever learning Torah he's able to achieve, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'Chelko, he's so proud of him. He's like that child who's autistic that all of a sudden says, Ima, what a great simcha it is. And therefore we will be judged relative to the society that we live in. Man is called an Olam Katan. He's like a microcosm of the universe. Last year, unfortunately, we fell. Rosh Hashanah a year ago, we were on a high. Yom Kippur was an amazing experience. And when we fulfilled the mitzvahs after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur last year, just a year ago now, or 11 months ago, we were on a high. We were up on the top. We ascended the mountain of Hashem. And therefore, our reward in Shamayim was great. But, you know what? That was sort of expected. Because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we really got such a great report card. We did so well. But what have we done since then? You know, we've been completely swept away by what's going on in society. And we went down, down, down. And now we're trying to pick up the pieces. And now in our situation, we're trying to shake off the dust. We're trying to change our direction. And we're trying to swim against the tide, against the stream. And it's so difficult. But Lufum Tzara Agra will be paid and rewarded by our efforts. And the significance of each mitzvah is infinite. And therefore, up in Shamayim, they're happy with us. This is what we have to sense during these days of Chodesh Elul. Hazman Katzar Amloch Merubah, as we said. How can we fix up and rectify what we messed up the whole year round? And the answer is because the Schar Mitzvah, if we appreciate what the Schar Mitzvah is, and especially in our times when we're swimming against the tide. You know, you talk about Klal Yisrael, for example, in Mitzrayim, they went down to the 49th level of Tumah. They worshipped Avodah Zarah. And they refused, according to Yechezkel HaNavi, to listen and hearken to the warnings of the prophets. And really, they weren't ready. They weren't worthy of redemption. And in truth, they should have been suffering another 190 years. They had no zchus. They had no merit or claim to redemption. But why were they redeemed? Biyod chazaka, biyod susim nosim, with all the great miracles. The answer is because of two mitzvahs. Because of Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. And why? Why two mitzvahs? How can two mitzvahs save them when they're not ruyim l'geula? And the answer is because they were in the darkness. A person who's in a dark room, he lights a small candle and it breaks through the darkness. It shines and it radiates. And we find that when the Kohen Mashruf Balcham would address the people on their, as they were about to embark on the military campaign, he would say, Shema Yisrael, Atem Kravim, Hayom L'Molcham Aloyveichem. And Rashi says, Afilu Ein B'yedchem L'mitzvahs Kriyat Shema Shachas V'Arvis Ruim Atem Li'Notzel. Imagine. A person doesn't have any other schus other than the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Can we imagine what darkness he's in? Can we imagine what averus he violated, whether knowingly or not knowingly? And the Chazals tell us that the Satan is makatrig b'shas sakana. We're about to go out to battle. That's the greatest shas sakana there is. Yaakov Avinu says, "Im lovan gati ta'ik mitzvamati." Even though he had a divine promise that Hashem would protect him, he was afraid that when he comes close to Esav for a battle, Shema Yigro Machet, maybe his sins will cause him to lose the battle. And therefore he declares him love and Gartim and Tagim Shamarti. He's afraid of the most subtle sin in the world. Penyavovi Kani Emal Bonim, he's afraid that Esav was completely going to decimate him. And here, we're going out to battle as a nation. And all we have in our back pocket, all we have on our record is Kriyat Shema? And Ru'im Atem Li'Natzel? But the answer is, because we are, through our Kriyat Shema, the spark, the shadi, the light that breaks through the darkness. We are that autistic child who breaks and declares Abba. And this is what we find in the Gemara Chulin, that the Goyim, out of 30 mitzvahs that they received and they accepted, they only fulfilled three. And by the way, the three are not Gilui Arayis, Shefichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. But yet, although they fulfilled the smallest of mitzvahs, we're not going to go into detail exactly what that mitzvah was, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared them. Because in the world of debauchery, of immorality, of low despicable behavior, any little mitzvah that a ben noach is able to achieve, it shines bright, it radiates. And Rav Elyo Lapian comments that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there were two cemeteries, or two designated areas in cemeteries, for those who were put to death for capital punishment, capital crimes. There was an Iskolim and an Israfim on one section, and then there was an Erogim and Echnokim on the other section, because in the latter case, their Avera and their Misa was Kala, it was relatively, again, we're talking about a capital crime, but relatively speaking, it was a lowercase Avera, and therefore, we cannot bury them together with a Rasha Gamur, a Rasha Chamur, a Rasha who violated the more severe violations. Again, we're all talking about Chayim Mises Bezdin. You know, back in the day, there was a 12-month period between Kedushin and Nisuin during which the Arusa lived in her husband's in her father's house. Her status was that of an Eishes Ish for everything. And during that 12-month period of time, they would prepare for the wedding. If, let's say, she was disloyal to her Arus, and she had during that 12-month period of Be'ila, then she deserves Skila. Skila is a very severe Misas Bezdin, a very severe capital punishment. The most severe that we know of. Now, in the case of a woman who's already married, she's living in her husband's house, now she's disloyal, she gets Chenek. Chenek is on the bottom of the list of Mises Bezdin. Skila Sreifa, Herig V'Chenek. So Skila and Chenek are the two opposite poles. Now this is counterintuitive. Why would a woman who's already married and has an adulterous affair be deserving of a less severe form of capital punishment than a woman who never entered into her husband's house? And the answer is Emas Baila Aleha. Imagine a woman who's married and she has this adulterous relationship. She's already connected to her husband. That's called Emas Baila Aleha. She lives with her husband and she's meant to be dedicated and loyal to her husband. How did she violate such a despicable crime? How did she lower herself to have this relationship, this affair? And there's no doubt that when she did so out of desperation. And not only that, she probably couldn't even enjoy that relationship because Emas Baila Aleha, she's under the fear of her husband. And if she got to this low level of what we call in Hebrew Shechitut, you know, of some despicable Teuv, then that itself, it must be a little bit of light here in the darkness, you know, that she can... that she can claim, I was desperate, and how much pleasure did I get from this action? And again, we're going to put it to death at the end of the day, but with the lightest of the punishments within the constellation of Mises Bezd. The Rambam writes that when is a person judged? He's judged every Rosh Hashanah. He's judged also before his death. And how is he judged? Is it just a calculation of how many zchuyos he has on the one side, how many averis he has on the other side? The Rambam says, Shikul ze eino lefi minyan zchuyos ve'averos. We don't count them up. This is not an arithmetic calculation, addition. Elo lefi gadlam. We look at the quality of the averis. Yesh zchuyos she'keneged kama avonos. Now look at the Rambam's language. He says yesh schus. He's focused on one schus, which outweighs kama averos. V'yesh avon. There's one sin shu keneged kama schuyos. And he quotes psukim to substantiate this. But ein shoklin el b'daito shel kel deos. Fehu hayodea heichan orchim aschuyos keneged ha'avonos. Notice, the Rambam speaks at the beginning of his presentation here that the shikul, the way God judges, is not according to minyan, he's not counting, but rather fi gadlan. And then he completes his sentence by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who knows. He should have said, for who, referring to God, who hayodea eich shoklin ha-mitzvos, he knows how to weigh mitzvahs and averos. Instead, the whole emphasis here is on the schus, the single schus. And perhaps what the Rambam is hinting at is that the main concern, or the main, I should say, consideration in the shikul, in the judgment of Hashem, is that one schus. We're talking about a person who has no other schus. He has no other dvarim tovim, but he's got one mitzvah, one schus, and has such a weight, it's so heavy, that Hashem evaluates that one mitzvah as if it was 70 times greater than it really would be in objective terms. Imagine the case of someone who's ill, Rachmana Litzlan, and he's in a half-conscious state. And if he'll move a finger in this coma, you know, it's a day of joy. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to tzaddikim, he's medagdek imon kechut asara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very meticulous and demanding. And again, it's all relative to the person, because this tzaddik sin is 70 times worse than you and I sin. And what we see here again is this concept that Hashem takes into consideration the whole picture and how difficult it is to overcome all these influences and challenges that we face that surround us in order to do those mitzvahs that are invaluable. And the Rambam goes on to say, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, L'fichach tzorach kol odom sheyira atzmo kilu chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayov. He sees himself as being in a 50-50 situation, and the entire world is 50-50, chetzio chayev and chetzio zakai. And therefore, how awesome is the responsibility? Chotachet echad, if he sins one sin, echrias atzmas kolom kulo, lekaf chova, gomlem rashkosa. Also mitzvah achas, echrias atzmas kolom kulo, lekaf schus, gomlem tshuvat sola. Shenema vitzadik yisod olam, zeu tzadik, sheechrias kolom schus, veitzilo. And Rava tells us about himself in the Gemara Brachas Samach Aleph, Kigon Ani Beinani. And what does that mean? Ani Beinani? That Rava is a Beinani? And the pasuk he quotes in Mishlei, Lev Yodea Moras Nafsho. In other words, when we look at ourselves and we're honest with ourselves, then, you know, the scales don't look very positive. And we, in a sense, can compare ourselves to Rava and see ourselves as Beinanim. Beinanim, says the Rambam, is half and half. Now again, how can you tell me that Rava is a Beinanim? He's half and half. This is the holy Rava. But the answer is that on his level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tefiah even for the smallest and slightest, most subtle sin. And when we take even baby steps forward on our level and relative to society and its influences on us and our soul, we get an applause, you know, that they're clapping their hands up in Shamayim. And therefore, Elul is really a month of optimism, of great faith, because we are completely shakua, we are completely dedicated during the rest of the year to this sleeping state that we discussed in the last shmooze. The shofar wakes us up, Uri Shein Mishnaschem. And the shofar basically says, listen, you know, you've been sleeping all year round, wake up, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to smile on us for every single little move that we make, like that sick person who's in a coma and he lifts a finger. Anything we do, any single mitzvah, is, who knows, it might outweigh many, many averos and avonos. And therefore, the depths of this profound challenge that we face is the nature, inherent in the nature of Elul. We have to rise up to the occasion and appreciate the schar of a mitzvah and how great it might be. The Gemara in Makkos says something amazing. It's based on a mission in Makkos that the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim would run around to the Ari Miklat where the Rotzchim B'Shogig were living, and they would bring Michya Ksus to these Rotzchim, to these murderers who were in exile in the Ari Miklat. Why? In order that they have such a great life in the Ari Miklat that they won't pray for the death of the Kohen Gadol for her son. Because the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, as you know, is freed from the Ir Miklat with the death of the Kohen Gadol. And it makes no sense. Imagine the tircha that we're putting this mother through. She's an elderly woman, her son is the Kohen Gadol, and she's got to move from city to city, three Ari Miklats in Eretz Yisrael proper, 48 Ari Alevim, and she's carrying with her food and clothing. I don't know how she does it, that's the truth. And all this is to prevent the Rotzchim from praying that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't die. That the Kohen Gadol should die. And apparently, what's the underlying premise here that's not spelled out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would listen to their tefillos. Even though the Kohen Gadol is the great Mispalel, he more than anyone else prays to Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Look at his status, look at his power, and yet these Rotzchim have the power of Tefillah, which are greater and trump the power of Tefillah of the Kohen Gadol himself and the Kohen Gadol's mother, and hopefully the Tefillah of all of Klal Yisrael. How is that possible? And the answer is because we don't have any concept. We have no asaga. What would happen up in Shemayim? What goes on in the heavenly courts? What hispilus distractions there is? Such an emotional response when a rotzeach, a murderer, davens. Wow. And then you open up the doors for him. Well, we got to the point where even a murderer is praying to Hashem. And therefore, my friends, even though Hazman Kotzer, and we are somewhat despaired about the fact that Amalach Merubah, we have to make up for 11 months of sleep, don't despair. No, on the opposite. On the contrary, because the darkness is so thick, you can almost touch it, you can almost slice it, because the situation is so bad, then up in Shemayim, they are waiting anxiously, anticipating every single tefillah, every single move or initiative that we take to get closer to Hashem, every single mitzvah that may look small and insignificant. It's like the cholo moves his finger. It's like the autistic child who Baruch Hashem says, Abba and Ima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yeshayahu Nachmi declares, Pnuei Lai V'Hivashu. Just turn towards me. They ask the Kotzker Rebbe, how far is it from north to south, or from east to west, and he said, just turn around. We have to just turn around. We have to appreciate what a unique period of time we're in, and what a unique opportunity Hashem has granted us, and we have to avail ourselves of that great opportunity. And that is the opportunity to come closer to Hashem, to be yedidim with Hashem, to do mitzvahs which are like precious diamonds and infinite of worth. This is what we have to realize at this period of time and take advantage of that challenge. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, as we saw in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, tells us that we cannot evaluate the significance of a mitzvah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Odea Deos, the Kael Deos, he and only him can be shokel our zechuyos against our avonos. Imagine the situation, as the Gaon in his Pirshan Rus says, of a person who gives a penny to a poor person who's starving, who's close to death. As a result of this act of tzedakah, of one pruta, he saves the life of the ani. Says the Gaon, his schar is olam umale. The Medrash tells us on the Mishnah says that Miriam waited for Moshe Rabbeinu. Shah Achas. You remember when Moshe was in the baby in the cradle. Tosfos says this Shah is not to be taken literally. It could be a third of an hour or even a quarter of an hour. That's what the word Shah means in the Mishnah's language. Now, as a reward for this small, short interval of time in which Miriam waited, the entire Bnei Yisrael would wait for her for 7 full days. As the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudbeis, Ha'am lo nasa ad heyosef Miriam. And the Marsha says that such a reward of 7 days is 500 times or more than the hour that she waited. And you have to multiply that by hundreds of thousands of people who waited for her. All this is a reward for her few minutes of waiting for Moshe. And the Chafetz Chaim says that we assume that there were 5 million Jews who left Mitzrayim. So we're going to have to multiply. The schar that she's getting is 25 million times more than what she did. Because all of these 5 million Jews waited for her. So the Mefarshim asked the Kasha, you'll see this in Degel HaMusar, what was so great about her Maisa? I mean, isn't it natural for a sister to have compassion for her little baby brother? And not only that, but Amram, according to the Gemara in Sota, had asked her, where's your Nevuah? Don't you realize that this Tinok is going to be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael? And in effect, she didn't put her life into danger. Why would she deserve such a schara reward that's 25 million times the amount of time that she waited? And the answer is because schara reward is not given just for the action, but for the repercussions of the action. If Miriam had not stood there, if Basparo had just adopted this little baby, and the baby would have been brought up at the hands in the palace of Paro and would never have known who were his ancestors, who were his parents, then the nation of Israel would have completely lost Moshe Rabbeinu as the Redeemer of Israel. Therefore, she, Miriam, changed the entire course of Jewish history, and she deserves to be rewarded such an amazing reward, 25 million times what she did. And when we look at the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Gemara speaks about Avraham Avinu, who accepted the Aruch and who were Malachi Ashores, and he brought him into his tent, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him and his children and his descendants throughout Jewish history for the actions of their forefather Avraham Avinu. Whatever Avraham Avinu did directly by himself was a tremendous reward. If Avraham Avinu sent a shliach and he didn't implement it by himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would also bring about something through a shliach for the descendants of Avraham Avinu. For example, El Abaka rots Avraham Avinu, and the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yud Aleph, V'ruach nasa meis Hashem, and meis Hashem means directly, V'yoga slovim in Ayam. Or Avraham Avinu, it says, V'yika chema v'cholov, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself personally brings down lechem in Hashemayim, the man. Over who Omid Aleim Avraham Avinu personally oversees them and supervises them, waiting to see how he can service them, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he Omid Lefanecha Shamal Atzur, he personally stands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, the Shekhinah is present. The Avraham Holich Imam Leshalcham Avraham escorts them personally, Hashem Holich Lefneim Yomam. But then, Yukach Nomi Atmayim. And he sends Yishmael Yidei Shliach to bring water for them. And there it says, V'ikesi batzur v'yotzu menu mayim v'shosa omal yidei shliach. V'ikesi batzur, meaning Moshe Ben is commanded to take a staff and hit the stone and bring out water, but it's through a shliach. The Medrash says, Shalach lachmecha al pnei amayim ki berov hayomim timtzaeno Reb Lozer Reb Simai pasar kro be'avraham avinu Omalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ato amarto ve'akho pas lechem v'sadu libchem chayecho shani porea levonecho b'midbar u'bayishuv u'liyosid lavo b'midbar shenemar yiman te lechem lechem min ha'shamay b'yishuv shenemar etz chito seyora liyosid lavo shenemar v'yehi fisas barbaretz. Amarta, you said, Rachzu Raglechem, Chayecha Shani Pore Levanecha Ba Midbar, Ba Yishuv, Uliyasid Lova, Midbar Shnemer, Erchatzech, Ba Mayim. By Yishuv Rachtu Vizaku. Lawsid Love Shemim Rachat Hashem is Bros Sio, no matter Yukach, no Viat Mayim, Chayachani Porel of an Echma Midbar Yishuv, Yosid Love over and over again. Vishanu Tachasaitz Chayachani Porea, Bonechma Midbar Yishuv, Lawsid Love Midbar, Shem Paras, Onon Lemosa. By Yishuv, Besukos Tashish, Lawsid Love, Shem Suka, Tielitel Yomam. And Reb Chaim Shulevitz, the great Baal Musa, the Rashiva, the Mir Yeshiva, asked himself, wait a minute, I also gave food, I also gave out a loaf of bread to an ani, and guests came into my house, I gave them to drink. Why wasn't I zocheh to all these great rewards? And his answer was that God doesn't judge the action itself, but he also judges the person who implements the action. Maisa katan shel adam gadol, when a small, less than bombastic and profound action, a humble action is implemented by a great man, is gadol mi maisa gadol shel adam katan. The way that that person implements that small, seemingly small action is greater than the way you do a big action. Ki prusas lechem kakamayim hoya. Kol Avramavinu. Avramavinu puts his entire soul into this loaf of bread and this flask of water that he offers the Archim. That's the greatness of Avramavinu. You could have two people sitting at the same table, for example, and they schmooze and they eat and they drink, but yet one person does something that has tremendous impact, that it reaches up to the Shamayim. And as a result of the Toldos HaMaisa, the result of the implications of his Maisa, he says none of the other people at the table are able to ascend. I mean, you take, for example, two people learning Torah, but one of them is Yonasan ben Uziel, and Kol Of Poreach Me'ol of Nisraf, the Gemara tells in Sukkah. There are hundreds of thousands of people learning, and nothing is burning up on top of them. And the answer is, there's another perspective here. That when it comes to Maisa Avos and the greats, the Sima Labanim, they are planting the seeds for generations to come. And therefore, anything that's imperfect is going to have an impact on what's ever going to take root and grow and vegetate. If the Avos do it through a Shliach, then again, the children will also get paid by Hashem, but through a Shliach. When it comes to Mayim, on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us water personally. He's not going to do it indirectly. Yet, when it comes to Mayim, again, Chema V'Cholav is Avram Avinu directly, is Mantel Chem Lechem in Hashamayim, that's the Mayim. But when it comes to Yukach Nomat Mayim, the water that's going to come out of the Sela, it's Al Yidei Shliach. Avram Avinu says, let the water be given through my Shliach. And then it's got to be the Kisa Batsur that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to bring about the water. He becomes the Shliach of Hashem. Now, let's just think of the implications. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had to play the role of bringing out the water, he sinned in the Chait of Mei Meriva, he died in the Midbar, and he didn't take the people into Eretz Yisrael. Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, meaning, had Moshe Rabbeinu not face this test, then Jewish history would have taken a different course. And what happened if Avraham Avinu sent the Shliach? That's going to impact on, again, as we said before, we're planting the seeds of Knesset Yisrael. It's going to impact straight down the lines of descendants. Instead of bringing the water himself, he sent the Shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have Moshe Rabbeinu as his Shliach to bring out the water from the Sela. And this leads to an entire, chain of events, a whole avalanche in which Moshe Rabbeinu sins at the Mei Meriva, dies in the Midbar. Had he not sinned, because Hashem would have granted the water directly, then Moshe wouldn't have died in the Midbar. He would have been the Redeemer of Israel. Enters into Eretz Yisrael, he would have been Mashiach. He would have built a Beis HaMikdash, and it never would have been destroyed. The Geula would have been immediate. So all these thousands of years were all a result of the fact that it was Yukach Nomiat Mayim. So on the one hand, the schar is so intense, so profound for everything that Avraham Avinu does. But on the flip side, look at the significance of of the shlemus, of the demand for perfection, that if there's something lacking, something deficient, what implications is going to have down the line? And this is a serious musashmus for the month of Elul. This is the month of self-introspection, evaluation of cheshbon ha-nefesh. This is a month in which we have to derive the conclusions and we have to change our ways. We have to understand that when we change our ways, we're really laying down foundation stones. And the reward is going to be infinite. It's beyond our description for all the periods of actions down the line, because now we're setting down the foundation stone. We are really planting the seeds, that because we're at a crossroads. And like Avraham Avinu, we're setting the tone for our actions down the line. If on the other hand, Chas V'Shalom, we reach this crossroads, and instead of planting, you know, a change, you know, for the better, we do things in an imperfect way, we're not dedicated, and we don't do it out of real love and conviction and desire for Dveikus on Hashem, then who knows what implications it's going to have when later on the seed takes and the vegetations grow. So we really have to dedicate ourselves to hishtaprut, to improve, to shleimut, to try to perfect ourselves. And if we do so, if we do and successfully engage in a dedication to tshuva gemura, then we will definitely merit the great infinite reward of Bamidbar Bayishuv Uvliyasid Lavo Ken Yiratzon. Amen.